Jeremiah 20 again. And in verse 1 it says, now Pashur the son of Immer the priest, who was also the chief governor of the in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks. They were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass in the morning that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks, and said unto Jeremiah, then said Jeremiah to him, the Lord had not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself, to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of the enemy, and thy knives shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the kings of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and they shall slay them with the sword. And in verse 9 it says, then I said, I will not make mention of him. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with burning, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear in every sight. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, we should take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, but they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, thou that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he had delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be of the cities which the Lord overthrew, and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning, and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb. Oh, that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again this morning as we get in your house, and we ask you blessings upon us that you brought us from this past week, and we pray that we can set aside the things of this past week, that we might come to thine house, that you might speak to us from thy word. And if you read this particular chapter of Jeremiah, one of the lowest points of Jeremiah's life, and Lord, how often we have walked that path where, yes, there is confusion, depression, and many questions. But through it all, we thank you, Lord, that thou hast not left us nor forsaken us. And Jeremiah would soon learn this also, Lord. And so, God, we ask that you would bless us this morning. For we ask it in your blessed and holy name. Amen. My study didn't record last week for some reason, so I just want to go over real quickly the first 9 verses and hopefully in this particular chapter this morning. But we said last week, in chapter 18, Jeremiah is sent to the potter's house. And God told Jeremiah, go see what the potter is doing. And the whole idea, he sees the potter making clay out of mud, out of dust. And God was teaching Jeremiah the aspect of his sovereignty, the sovereignty of God. There in Jeremiah 18:6, it says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And when you get to chapter 19, we see that the prophet Jeremiah is told to go and take a potter's earthen vessel, some sort of jar or vessel, and to break the bottle to symbolize that God was going to smash Jerusalem and Judah. And he took the ancient man, the priest, and he took him to the Valley of Hinnom, where they had been offering children. And Jeremiah didn't even preach a sermon. He had been preaching many sermons, but this time he just takes that earthen vessel and he smashes it in front of all of them to teach them that they were beyond repair, that God's judgment had come, and thus God was going to bring awful judgment upon them, no matter what. Well, apparently word got to the gentleman named Pasher, who was, as we said last week, the head of the security, and he decides to take things into his own hand, and so he imprisons Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah is put in stocks, he's put in prison. And apparently the Lord gave Jeremiah a message while he was in stocks. You read in the commentaries, they say that it was a very, very small room, that there was only room enough for Jeremiah to lay down. He couldn't even stand up. And I'm sure Jeremiah is, in his mind, like all of us do to some degree when we go through a difficult trial, it's like, but Lord, I've been serving you, but Lord, I've been... And there might be some confusion, which I no doubt believe there was. But nonetheless, God did speak to him while he was in prison and told him to give a message to Pasher, which is seen in verse 4. Of course, verse 3, let's read verse 3 first. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Pasher brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pasher," which we said last week means liberation. You know, you're talking about a person who is free, without bondage. Now Jeremiah says, we're going to change your name from liberation to Magor Misabib, which means fear on every side. In other words, you're going to go from being a free person into bondage on every side, which is nothing but fear. Verse 4, "For thus saith the Lord." You see that this was not Jeremiah. It came from God. "For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of thine enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword." And we said last week also, this is the first time in the book of Jeremiah that Jeremiah names the country Babylon that is coming. Up to then he only said from the north, but all that time we knew it was Babylon. Well, verses 1 through 8 we have in that outline that was passed last week the apprehending of Jeremiah. In verses 1 and 2 we saw the arraigning of Jeremiah where he was in prison. Verses 3 to 6 the assailing of Jeremiah, that is his bitter complaint to God. And and then of course in verses 7 to 8, the alleging of Jeremiah as he sets his complaints again before God. In verse 7, he says, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." This was his message. This was his sermons, preaching violence, spoil, preaching the hard things, hard sermons. I told you every sermon Jeremiah preached was hard. It was the aspect of that gloom and doom. But this is what God had given him to preach to this people, that God was going to bring judgment. And so Jeremiah, you know, the idea, and I can understand Jeremiah going, "Lord, I've been doing your will. I've been preaching what you've told me to preach. I've not changed the message." And so Jeremiah is caught in a situation that even himself starts perhaps blaming God for things. And sad to say, when it is all said and done, I remember one thing Gordon used to say all the time, it don't make a difference when it's all said and done. All of us have feet of clay. And I know we like to put people in the Bible on pedestals, and you know, we're not careful, we can idolize them. You know, everybody has their favorites, and I have my favorites, and Jeremiah is one of my favorites. And I said Jeremiah is my favorite book in the Old Testament only because of his faithfulness. Even through everything he went through and the messages he preached, he was a faithful man. But I beg to remind you again, we're talking about a young man. We're not talking about a seasoned warrior. We're not talking somebody like Moses, who was 80 years old, and And he, the Lord taught him 40 years in the wilderness to be a shepherd. This is a young man that is called to the ministry. And as a young man, many things have happened. And so, you know, he was not a seasoned warrior. But nonetheless, then in verse 9, as Jeremiah is complaining to the Lord, and the Lord arrested Jeremiah's heart, the arresting of Jeremiah. He says again, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Here we have Jeremiah's perturbative heart, that is, his heart was troubled. He was confused. And he said, you know what, I quit, God. I'm done. And I think every true minister of God has gone to the point that you say, I quit. You've heard me say often, on a Sunday night, I get weary and tired and preach your heart out and beg God to save sinners and to do something. And you go, Lord, I quit. I want to throw the towel in. And God always gets that towel and throws it right back at me. He says, Joe, I'm not done with you yet, son. Lord, I'm 63. I'm old. I'm not done with you. Yeah, Lord. So I can understand Jeremiah. I can understand his heart. And you can ask any preacher. If you're not being called to the ministry, I don't think you can quite understand that. This is why I always warn you, it's too easy to always just blame the preacher. Blame the preacher. Look at the preacher. Things go wrong. You know, let's just say this place was packed so much. I mean, we had no room. We had to put people in the fellowship hall, people in the nursery, put TVs. So they, would you all say, well, see, Pastor Joe's preaching about all these people. No, we'd be foolish. It'd be stupid. And I wouldn't want anybody to say that. God did it. Amen. But when it's reversed, it's like, it's the preacher. I've learned a long time ago, been at it 27 years, God sends seasons of famine. And then he sends fruitful seasons. Amen. And you know what he calls you and me to do? Guess what? To be faithful. Do you think those words of Jeremiah when he says the Lord give and the Lord take it away is just in physical things? Sometimes it's also in spiritual things. God gives and then sometimes he takes away. And it's all to what? To prove your heart. Will you still remain faithful? Or you put your tail between your legs and haul off and take off and go? Or remain faithful to the things of God? This is where you find Jeremiah. He's going through a very hard time and he's ready to quit. He's ready to throw the towel and says, I'm done with this. Yes, it was a very perturbative heart. He was perturbed. But oh, never underestimate the heart of a preacher. Here we see Jeremiah's passionate heart. Woo, I love this. But, you know I love the buts of the Bible, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Only God can do that to a man. You don't go to school to learn that. You don't go get a degree, and the more degrees you get, finally that fire burns in your heart. No, God puts that in your heart. And not everybody has it. And this is one of three verses that God shot arrows in my heart when I was a young man. And I didn't want to get to the ministry. And I told you before, I gave Brother Pat Horner 26 reasons why I didn't want to be in the ministry, why I shouldn't be in the ministry. I didn't want to be in the ministry. This one of the verses in Jeremiah's passionate heart. And then he concludes, I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. Jeremiah's persevering heart. As he submits to God and he gives in and says, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. I could preach all the way till 2018 on this one verse. Let me tell you, my dear one. But Barbara, I know you complained when I first started Jeremiah and you said you hope you were around till I finished chapter 52, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to spare you, Barbara. Okay. We'll try to get to Jeremiah. But there's a lot here that we could just go on preaching for some time. This is some good stuff here, my dear ones. And what a blessing that God would put his heart. And now there is a sense also that God can put that in every saint. Okay, but I'm talking in realm of the ministry, okay? But even as a saint, you ought to have a passionate heart, and that the word of God should burn in your heart. Okay? And then in verses 10 to 13, we have the assurance of Jeremiah. Again, he says, "For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, Peradventure he will be enticed, and we will prevail against him, and we shall take a revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail, and they shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But O Lord of hosts, that trieth the righteous." You see, that's really the key phrase of the whole chapter. What Jeremiah doesn't realize till at this very present moment is that God was trying him. God was proving him. God was testing him. And this is nothing new. This is why the Lord tells us, count the cost. I mean, if you think that Christianity is a bed of roses, and once the Lord saves you, everything's going to be perfect, you're going to make a lot of money, you're going to be healthy, I mean, your children are going to be so obedient, everything's going to be good, I mean, everything's perfect. A bed of roses, no problem, no issues. Well, then go join Joel Osteen's church. Okay? Because you'll get that from that church. The health and wealth gospel. That's a false gospel. God, Christ himself says, count the cost. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. And it goes on. Even Peter would write to us and say, don't count it a strange thing. When fiery trials come up. What kind of trials, Peter? Fiery trials? What kind of trial again? Fiery trials? Don't we sing there in Isaiah? Fear not. He will deliver us from the fire. Yeah. Yeah, as Joseph, we're doing everything right and perfect. Even pushing away Potiphar's wife when nobody would have known. And where did he wind up? In prison. And you don't think Joseph many times said, I did that which was right. God will try us, my dear ones. Never underestimate that. And here Jeremiah, perhaps for the first time in the sense of his ministry, was being tried. And so after a little downfall there in verses 6, 7, and 8, even at the beginning of verse 9, as the Lord arrested his heart, puts a fire in his soul, he's going to persevere, continue. But now, in verses 10 to 13, we see the assurance of Jeremiah, because now he realizes that. But, O Lord of hosts, thou triest thy righteous, and seest the reins in the heart. Let me see the vengeance of them that have on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he had delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. I mean, going down from the pits of the stocks to now worshiping and praising God. Little did they know that in the very near future, Nebuchadnezzar was coming. In 605 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar plundered the temple, took King Jehoiakim, that I believe we'll see in chapter 21, who was the son of Josiah and some nobleman, into Babylon. In 597 BC, he took 10,000 into captivity. And by 586 BC, he burned down the temple, the city of Jerusalem, and left it in ruins. And you can read that at the end of 2 Chronicles 36 and 2 Kings 25. Jeremiah was going through, no doubt, a very, very hard time, difficult. And when he gets to verse 10, we could call these Jeremiah's complaint in a sense, because now what he had called Pasher, Magor Mizabit, fear on every side, now they're going to attack him with that. They're going to mock him. As though somebody would come and say, hey, Jeremiah, who has fear now on every side? You know, stick out their tongue in him and just mock him. And he says, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. He says, the report say that, and we shall report it, all my familiars, his fans, his friends, his families. They watch for my halt. They could not wait for him to fall. Saying, peradventure he will be enticed. And we shall prevail against him. And we shall revenge on him. And so, yes, he was cast down. He was discouraged. But again, another blessed but of Jeremiah 20. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. And in verses 11 and 12, we have Jeremiah's comfort. Jeremiah's comfort, because he knew the Lord was with him. Also, the beginning of verse 12, another blessed but. But, O Lord, thou triest the reins. Excuse me, thou triest the righteous. And seeth the reins and the heart. My. And so all of them turned against him. But Jeremiah prevailed through this little trial. And there was a sense that Jeremiah took off his eyes from his trials and he set them upon heaven. He now looks to heaven and he reminds himself that the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. He remembered the Lord would not leave thee, the Lord would not forsake thee. Though at times, I have to admit, sometimes we feel like that. I don't know if you've ever asked this question, but I know I have. Lord, where are you? Where are you, Lord? That's why one of my favorite prayers to pray. And again, I would ask you to, as we were going through the psalm there in that psalm, I think it was Psalm 20 that I asked you to pray for me. One of my prayers that I like to pray for the church, and join me in praying this in your prayer closet. It's in Psalm 83. Right here in this chair, you don't know how many times in tears, right here, that your pastor comes and pours out his heart. I beg God, keep not silent, O God. Hold not thy peace. Be not still. Do something, God. And I pray Isaiah 54, the first few verses of Isaiah 54. And just look to God and ask God to do these things. And so I know that Jeremiah is going through a very difficult time. And again, as we said, he might be questioning the things of God. As I said, every man of God at some point does that. He recovered. He set his eyes upon God. And the Lord seemed to give him a little minute revival, as it were. more revival within his heart and his soul. That now he has some aspect of comfort in his soul. That by the time we get to verse 13, we have Jeremiah's confession. Jeremiah's complaint to verse 10, Jeremiah's comfort, 11 and 12, and then Jeremiah's confession to verse 13. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he had delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. In reality, when you look at this particular verse in the whole context of 10 to 13, you would think David wrote this. And I say that from the perspective when you read the Psalms. See, that's what you see in the life of David. Here was a man after God's own heart, David. And he writes those Psalms, and those Psalms, you know, it's he pours out his heart to you and to me, of course to God, but to us also, that we might be encouraged. In one Psalm, we see David so high and so encouraged and so strengthened by God, praising him. And then next Psalm, boom. He's down low, discouraged, depressed, perplexed. And then the Lord comes and strengthens his heart and encourages him. And he bursts out into some glorious song and to sing praises unto God. You know, we said often, you think of that verse there in Psalm 55:19 says, because they fear not God, they have no changes. Or because they fear not God, they change not. Now, in other words, the laws, they don't go through changes. The laws are under the bondage of their sin, and they act in accordance to the bondage of their sin. But a child of God goes through changes. They go through changes. But not the laws. Now, I love that one of my favorite psalms, because if you read in there, in that psalm, David speaks about that he says, yes, it was you, one who went with me to the house of God. It was you that hurt me. Oh, if it was an enemy, and I'm just paraphrasing this. You go read Psalm 55. David said, if he had been an enemy, I could have taken it. But no, it was you, that old friend of mine. We went to the house of God together. And they were talking about they backstabbed him. If it was an enemy, I could have taken it, but it was you, a friend of mine. So David is so broken, and he continues. And then he speaks this precious verse in Psalm 55, verse 19. Early in that chapter, you hear of his complaint, his mourning, his crying. And it says, because they fear not God, they have no changes. They don't change. Child of God has changes. Because we're like a paradox. I mean, all our sins are forgiven. We have the imputed righteousness of Christ. But we still have sinned. We still have to deal with sin. We still have to mortify sin. Not only do we have to battle sin, we have to battle the devil, we have to battle the world. All these things come against us. So there's a battle in our hearts. And so we go through changes. I mean, even when things are going fine, do you think Satan just sits back? Oh, no. He's shooting those fiery darts at you in your heart and attacking you. And this is where you have Jeremiah. I can assure you that when Jeremiah was in those thoughts, don't think Satan was laughing at him. No, Satan was firing those darts. See, where's your God now, Jeremiah? Is he going to deliver you? And then he takes his own friends, his own family to turn against them. Yes, a child of God goes through changes. That's why I love the Psalms and David. Because not out of his own words, but God said, this is a man after mine own heart. Wow. So Jeremiah is so overwhelmed in this trial that he was going through. Was down, goes up. It seems that from like verses 8 and 9, even in verse 10, it looked like Jeremiah finally took his eyes off his trouble and he set his eyes upon God, and the Lord gave him a victory. And so now, instead of complaining, now he's praising God. He's worshiping God. He's honoring God. Oh, by the way, I just forget to say one thing about that verse there in Isaiah 55:19, because they have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. Guess what that word fear is there? If you're here Wednesday night, you heard me say that too. It's the Hebrew word yadeh. Yes, it's the same Hebrew word in Ecclesiastes 12:13 that speaks of that holy that we spoke on for about 5 or 6 weeks. That holy, reverential fear of God. A lost person doesn't have that type of fear. Therefore, they don't go through changes because they fear not God. But a child of God does. And so Jeremiah, this way, that way. That's why also many times I tell you, when you see a brother or sister in the church going through a trial, going through a difficult time, please don't quote Romans 8:28. Oh, brother, man, everything's fine. God knows everything. God works all things together for his glory. You know, just go. And we quote Romans 8:28 now. Often I tell you, they don't want to hear a sermon from you. You know what they want? Your shoulder. For you just to put your head upon your shoulder. Let them complain. Let them air out their complaints. Keep silent. And just pray with them. And pray for them. And encourage them. That's it. They don't need a sermon at that particular moment. They need comfort. They need love. They need mercy. Not a 5-point outline of what they should be doing, which, sad to say, when they're going to a trial, they do the same thing. Okay? And so here we have Jeremiah. Up and down, up and down. And just when you think he's over everything and you feel the victory's over, it seems that everything crashes around him again. So much so that scholars say that verses 14 to 18 do not belong in this chapter. And they make up all kinds of excuses of things. And you kind of shake your head and you go, foolish. God put it there for a reason. Okay? And it's in every translation, not just the King James, these verses. But they try to excuse. And I'm going to make a very strange statement, but please understand that not every scholar of the Bible is a Christian. Not everybody has such great degrees. Okay? Some of them just like to attack the Word of God. Especially those on the mindset of higher criticism. Okay? And so they just rather just pick it out and not deal with it. Oh, no, no. Doesn't mean we understand it. Doesn't mean we, you know, get the whole gist of what is being said. No, but what I do love, it's the heart of Jeremiah, and that's the man that I love. That's the man that I just look at and go, wow, what a man. Yea, what a faithful man. He did this conclude on a negative. We go from two glorious buts of such excitement to two woes, two curses. that Jeremiah sets forth. The first one in verse 14. Cursed be the day when I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. In verses 14 to 18, we have the anguish of Jeremiah. And no doubt that in verses 14 and 15, we have the confusion of Jeremiah. In verse 14, we have the cursing of his birth. And in verse 15, the condemnation of his birth. From verse 15, it says, cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. Awful situation Jeremiah found himself in. So discouraged, so broken, going from the lows of prison to the heights of the Word of God burning in his heart and his soul, to perhaps complaining in verse 10 that everybody's attacking him, to the comforts and blessings of 11 to 13, to a sad woe that he curses the day he was born. Saying, it'd been better if I'd not been born. All that teaches me, Jeremiah was hurting. He was hurting a lot. He was going through a very, very dark trial. This is why I entitled this chapter, The Dark Night of His Soul. It was the dark night of his soul. I don't know if you've ever done that. I know I have at times. When you think about stuff, you go through difficulties, Lord, then better if I not been born. I don't judge him. I don't agree with it. But nonetheless, it's something we go through. He was in deep, deep depression. Awful depression. I don't know what it means to be the only one. The only one. There was nobody with Jeremiah. There was nobody holding his hands. And he had no converts. Not until chapter 30, was it 37 or 39, that he finally has a convert. But he's all by himself. And he knows he's preaching the Word of God. He knows he's doing what God asked him to do. He's doing everything God had asked him to do. He winds up in prison. He's attacked. His family. And we saw what in chapter 11 and chapter 15. Now they're scheming plans to kill Jeremiah. His own family. His friends. The people from his city. All I can think of is the words of David there in Psalm 42. When he was so broken, because Psalm 42 is a psalm of depression. And I remember years ago, don't know when I did, but I preached a series of sermons that Christians do go through depression. Because I've heard people say, oh, a child of God doesn't go through depression. Oh, yes, they do. Be careful. Don't say that. You don't want God to make you eat your words. Because there have been times I have to eat my own words. It says, as the heart panted after the water brook, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. What they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And I can just see Jeremiah going, Lord, where are you? Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Which you see the same pattern here in Jeremiah 10. He goes from being down, going up. But then again, he goes down to verse 5. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? But David, being an older man than Jeremiah, being a seasoned saint, answered his own question. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? He asks a question and he gives his answer. And his answer is, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And he repeats that, I believe, a couple times in that psalm. So yet Jeremiah was in a deep depression that he even cursed the day when he was born. Condemned the man that went and gave great tidings. Remember, he's not the only one. Remember when Elijah, he says, Lord, I am the only one. I am alone. And when the Lord kind of blessed and sent fire from heaven, and then when the Lord answered his prayer that the storm was coming, by the time you get from 1 Kings 18, 1 Kings 19, you think he's walking on water. But in chapter 19, I believe he asked that he would rather die. There's been saints that have asked that he'd rather die, the aspect of suicide. Of course, the Lord rebuked him and says, when he says that he was the only one, he says, I have 7,000 not bowed the knee to Baal. What shall we say about Job? I don't have time. I have time to escape. We go to Job chapter 3. Job did the same thing. Job almost said the same thing that Jeremiah said. Cursing the day of his birth. Jeremiah condemns the man that comes and gives good tidings. And in verses quickly, 16 and 18, the consternation of Jeremiah, that is his perplexity, his bewilderment, his dismay, his discouragement. In verses 16 and 17, the crisis of his birth, and then verse 18, the calamity of his birth. Again, in verse 16, he says, let that man be of the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting of the noontime. Because he slew me not from the womb. Oh, that my mother might have been my grave in a room to be always great with me. I mean, that's just unbelievable when you think about it. That a person would get so discouraged in such a manner. This is what Job said. He says in Job 3:10, behold, it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Yes. Great depression. Great depression in the child of God. So the same thing, almost verbatim what Job said. And then, of course, verse 18. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. My. Yes, this chapter ends with a question mark. But nonetheless, when it's all said and done, before we judge Jeremiah too harshly, guess what? He was a faithful prophet to the end. He had his high moments. He had his low moments. This happens to be a very low moment of Jeremiah. But he shall recover, because God is going to recover his heart and his soul and bring joy to his heart and strengthen him. And he's going to say with David, hope thou in God. Get up, dust himself up and everything, and get back right to it. Because God is telling Jeremiah, son, I am not done with you yet, sir. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the words of Jeremiah, the opening of his heart, Lord. How many of us have entered that path? How many of us have contemplated the time, maybe suicide? Or think it'd been better that we'd not been born? It doesn't take away from who God is, but it just shows that we are but human. Because when it's all said and done, all of us have feet of clay. And so, God, I pray that you would strengthen us and remind us and encourage us of the importance of walking in faith, Lord. The importance of keeping our eyes upon thee. That we set our affection on things above, not things upon this earth. To help us as we walk in this pilgrimage pathway, that there'll be many trials, temptations, and pitfalls. But one day when it's all said and done, we'll just stand before thee face to face. And we shall glorify your holy name. And so we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for you preserving us, Lord. For if it wasn't for your preservation, all of us would throw in the towel. And so we thank you for your effectual grace in our lives. And as we ask this in your blessed and holy name, amen.